radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Tuesday, April 1st, 2025. I am Paul Gallant, and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You know how to get aboard. You heard Mr. Voiceman himself say it. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. I was driving into work today on Westheimer, as I always do. As I got closer and closer to where our station is, which is at 5353 West Alabama, and I noticed something in the right lane. It was a man. A man just walking in the middle of the right lane. He had a shopping cart. A shopping cart filled with perhaps all of his belongings. He was slowly trudging in the middle of Westheimer, in the right lane, on a path to who knows where. As I looked at this man and angrily got into the left lane and drove around him and may have put on a little extra gas to emphasize how annoyed I was that this person didn't use the sidewalk.
Did you do the move of like staring at him as you passed?
I did, Sean.
Okay, good.
I did. Because I wasn't happy. But then, something came to me. All the effort, all the energy this man was putting into pushing this shopping cart down the street in the right lane of Westheimer at 11:50 on a Tuesday was more than the Astros offense has given us all year long. This man slowly plodding along. You know what? At least he was trying. At least he was trying to get from point A to point B. You could say he was trying to find his home base as he slowly creeps down the right field line heading to first. He's going somewhere. Where's this Astros offense going? It's only been four games. It is a limited sample size. And if you listen to yesterday's show, or if you saw me on TV Sunday night on KHOU with our front office insider at ESPN Houston, Jeremy Booth, and Zach Tawatari, you'd note that I believe that the Astros have a process that ultimately will see this offense eventually wake up. But last night doesn't have me feeling great. I'm waking up on Tuesday morning after watching the Astros lose 7-2 to the Giants and falling asleep watching the Rockets lose a ugly-ass game to the Lakers, 104-98. I'm waking up, and I am wondering, at what point are we going to look at ourselves in the mirror and realize this offense is a lot like the 2016 Houston Texans offense with Brock Osweiler, in that they're effed. It's early. And again, I like that they're being patient for the most part. But last night, they stopped being patient. Last night, all of a sudden, they were swinging at everything again. Come on, guys. Three games before we're going back to our bad habits? What are you? Paul Gallant trying to enact his New Year's resolutions of not procrastinating and not texting exes? Which, by the way, I bailed on in early February? Are you me? Three hits last night, just three walks. They at least did get a hit with runners in scoring position. In fact, they had two, thanks to Isak Paredes' two-run double. But, you know, we talk about the process. The Astros threw 166 pitches last night. The Giants threw 125. And I don't know, maybe Jordan Hicks is going to be a Cy Young winner someday. And he threw some electric stuff, and he was painting the corners. I mean, he actually did pitch very well. So you can tip your hat to Jordan Hicks if you want, the H-Town native. But the guy's the Giants' fourth starter. A Giants team that signed Justin Verlander after an offseason and has him at the top of their rotation. So here is my question to you on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. At what point is it okay to panic about the offense? I'm not there yet. It's going to take me some time to get there. But this has been a very brutal start, especially when you consider that Kyle Tucker is crushing it with the Cubs. And Alex Bregman, at the very least, has a passable batting average, Mr. Slow Starter, compared to literally all Houston Astros not named Jose Altuve. How much longer, Sean, do we have to, I think, be patient before we perhaps just hit it in overdrive and blast past that old man pushing a cart of all of his belongings on Westheimer and full into the panic zone?
Mm-hmm. We clip that homeless man.
And, oh, we don't clip him. We don't clip him. Okay. No, we are going to do essentially what Maverick does in Top Gun, you know?
Buzz the tower.
We're buzzing the tower.
Okay, I got you. Listen, I'm going to need more than, what, at most three runs in a game? That's the season high so far for the Astros. I'm going to need a five spot before Monday, before we turn on the microphones Monday. I just need a good game.
Okay.
A good
just one
offensive game.
Just one.
I need a five to three win.
Maybe it'll happen tonight.
Yes.
At Minute Maid Park against the Giants with Hayden Wisniewski on the mound against the Giants number five starter. Maybe it happens in the early afternoon game on Wednesday before the Astros go on the road for the first time this year. I'd prefer it happen these next two games.
I prefer they scored seven runs in the first inning. I'm just saying for the bare minimum for me not to start to, I don't know if I'm going to use the P word, but to start to worry. The other P word. No, the other one. I'm going to start to worry if we still are getting, even if they go 500 and we're just going 2-1 win, 2-1 loss, 3-1 win, 2-1 loss. Like, even if that kind of maintains, like, that's not good. Even if the record is good. I'm going to need not even a run bonanza. I'm not even asking for a, oh my God, the 2017 Astros are back kind of giant game. I just need a score five or six runs game.
I need five runs three times in the next week.
Whoa. Oh, okay, in the next week.
In the next week?
Okay.
Five runs three times in the next week. Otherwise, buckle up. You'll be getting a lot of this man, the Paul Gallant Show's favorite superhero.
Think your favorite team has it all figured out? Think again.
I thought what we had was special!
Sure, for now.
Oh God, oh man, oh God, oh man, oh God!
Never fear. A superhero is here to remind you why your team's actually
up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Panic Man!
Yes, it is I, Panic Man, five games into the Astros season. Yes, I'm here. You have just 18 hits in four games? I thought this was a World Series contender. Eight runs in four games? If I'm doing my math, that's just two runs a game. It seems like a lot of crap. Oh, you're 3-for-23 with runners in scoring position on a team with Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez? 25 runners left on base? You should go to jail! Three extra base hits in four games? What is this, a starving third world country? 26th in on-base percentage! 27th in steals with zero! 28th in batting average, 28th in runs, 29th in OPS, 30th in slugging, and 30th in home runs with just one. That little dinky boinker boink by Jeremy Pena. It was like 12 feet off the ground. At least we're getting walks. They do have 13 walks. 13th in walks with 16 in four games. They're in third place in the AL West. The Angels are in first. Who the hell is Wilmer Flores? He's on pace for 121.5 home runs this year. Intentionally walk his ass. Jordan Hicks is their fourth starter. Oh, that guy looks better than most of the Astros pitchers. Panic Man, away!
Perfect timing. Good job, Panic Man.
I mean, look, still got some time to go before we're where Panic Man is. But I just want to remind the Astros that the panic button is not as far away as it's been in years past. And this is a very, very bad start offensively. I'm still being patient. I would just encourage them to get back to what they were doing the first three games, which was being patient at the plate, drawing walks, working pitchers' counts. And I get that that Jordan Hicks was doing a fantastic job and perhaps making it difficult for the Astros to sit back and take pitches and try to draw walks. But come on, we're four games in. You can't be an entire lineup of Alex Bregman's, especially when Alex Bregman's doing better than pretty much every single Astro, and especially when Kyle Tucker's doing better than every single Astro.
I was going to say, this isn't even like full of Alex. Like Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez is hitting below 100. He has a batting average below 100. That's... No one has a batting average above 200 other than Altuve. And the guy at 200, it's Jake Myers. He's batting ninth. This is bad. This is really bad,
bad
stuff.
But
this
we're not panicking.
Not panicking.
That's just panic,
just
man.
Because it's honestly because this is like such an outlier. It's so outlier bad that I'm not quite where. It's not like.
I get what you're saying.
They're consistently getting hits, but they're straining guys on third and second base, or they're leaving the bases loaded. They are doing that sometimes. But but it is so, like, I don't think that Yordan Alvarez just sucks now.
I don't think either.
That Isak Paredes just sucks, or Yainer Diaz can't hit anymore. Like, these guys, I believe in their track record to be decent. It's just, I would really like to see it sometime before this weekend.
And I will reject any column where the Astros talk about the batter's eye. I reject it. I reject it 100%. And listen, it could happen at some point this year. I know now the batter's eye is black, which I would assume, you know, because there's a lot of contrast between white, the color of a baseball, and black. I would assume that it's the most visible it's ever effing been. Figure it out. Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. At what point is it acceptable to panic about the Astros' struggles offensively? Also last night, we saw the Houston Rockets take on LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Does that game have you feeling differently about the Rockets as we get closer and closer to the playoffs? Stick around. I'm Paul Gallant. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. In the last segment, we asked the question, at what point is it acceptable to panic about the Astros' slow start on offense? And then Panic Man made an appearance. Check out this segment if you want to see Panic Man in his mask on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston. On the text line, as a team, writes one texter, the Astros have one home run. Kyle Tucker already has three bombs this year. Yes, Kyle Tucker has as many extra base hits with those three bombs as the Astros do all season two, because they have one home run from Jeremy Pena, barely cleared the fence, and then they also have a Yordan Alvarez double and an Isaac Paredes double from last night. Another texter says, wow, the Astros are batting 157 as a team. Yes. Again, statistically, it's all so bad, and the hope is that it's an anomaly. But good God, it's very, very bad. Multiple texts and a Twitch comment from Grinding on Coffee and Whiskey. And everyone is asking for the torpedo bats. And I'll be honest, when it comes to the torpedo bats, I'm not going to act like I know the ins and the outs. All I know is that some Yankees are using it and that the Yankees have a lot of home runs to open up the season. But there are torpedo bats all across the sport, and apparently they have been allowed. What is a torpedo bat? It is a brand new bat that MIT engineers have designed where I guess the barrel is a little bit bigger than it is in your normal, typical bat. So, there are more spots on the bat that if you make contact with the baseball, theoretically, it's just a bigger sweet spot, you know? The Astros should not be above torpedo bats. Not one Houston Astro should be above that. Especially if we take a look at this team as the most competitive, he said, with quotation marks around that, team in all of baseball over the past decade, you know, with the whole thing. If this team is as competitive as we want them to be, they better be taking a look into bringing some in so that everybody can try them out. We need to get some torpedo bats down here. How much do they cost? I don't know. All I know is, yes, bring them in as quickly as possible. Someone else texted in, Rafael Montero's stuff looked good yesterday. I think he's back. You are trolling, you son of a biscuit. You're just trying to rile me up. Nope, we're not going to get riled up after four Astros games. No matter how bad the offensive numbers are, Rafael Montero was the second to last Astros pitcher to get work this year. Hayden Wesneski will be the last. And yeah, he's the white flag now. I kind of like that this is Rafael Montero's new role. When Montero comes into a game, and at first it didn't look so bad, but as soon as he allowed a couple of runners on and then those runners got home, I realized, okay, when the Astros put Rafael Montero into a game, I can change to another game.
Yes, and last night was a perfect night for that.
Because we had Rockets-Lakers.
Rockets time.
And this was a frustrating loss for the Rockets. Now, a lot of people are pointing at calls made by referees and the lack of free throw attempts for the Rockets as one of the reasons that they went down last night. There was a suspect technical foul called on Tari Eason after an awesome dunk that he had. He said one word. I don't know what that word was, but it led to him getting a T. If you are so hyper-focused on the referees, I'm just going to tell you, there's no more Bill Worrell anymore to steer you that way. The NBA and referees are not out to get the Rockets. Referees just are not great. And sometimes, yeah, they get a little bit me, you know, they like the attention. They like trolling, perhaps even. But I'm not blaming last night's Rockets loss on referees. 104-98. It was an ugly, ugly basketball game. I mean, you could tell both of these teams were perhaps a little bit tired. I mean, LeBron James played at least, so that was nice to see. But what version of LeBron James was that? Felt like he was in autopilot for a lot of the game. Luka Doncic did not look like himself either. I mean, it was one of those games where you look back at it and you're probably going to think to yourself, this is just your typical late March, early April game as teams are playing out the string. But I'm a little concerned with how dumb the Rockets played. I felt they were really, really sloppy. And I don't know what frustrated me more, if it was every single wide open three that Fred VanVleet missed, or if it was Dylan Brooks, who clearly was a little extra excited for this game, given that he's going up against the Bear, LeBron James. What was the quote that Dylan said a couple of years ago with the Memphis Grizzlies?
I poke bears.
I poke bears, right. And Dylan had some nice plays defensively, but Dylan started feeling himself a little bit too much, and there was a play where he dribbles to the right of the basket, and then he shot a fadeaway from the right elbow on a night where he was clanking and clanking and clanking, like Philip Seymour Hoffman's character in Along Came Polly. Let it rain! Clank. Let it rain! Clank. That was Dylan Brooks. That was Fred VanVleet. The shooting wasn't great, but I felt like the Rockets played dumb in this game. And, you know, you talk about how this team doesn't have a closer. I mean, they needed one. But down the stretch, it just was a lot of dumb. I'm assuming Ime Udoka saw something that Jalen Green did that was wrong, unless it was before the game decided that the reigning Western Conference Player of the Week was not going to play the last couple of minutes of a back-to-back. Jalen Green was on the bench, and the Rockets didn't really seem to know what they were doing down the stretch. Really, of all the players on the Rockets last night, specifically in the second half when the Rockets were allowing wide-open threes by the Lakers for the entirety of the third quarter, the only guy that I felt like on the court was someone who belonged in the NBA playoffs was Amen Thompson. And Tari Eason, too. Both of those guys, the Terra Twins, I thought had great nights.
Yeah.
But what's going on with the starters? What's up? I get it. Second night of the back-to-back. But, hey, is being tired an excuse to play dumb? And I imagine that Ime Udoka is grilling them today at their film session. And he should. It got really sloppy. It got really ugly. And, hey, I think we all know that the Rockets' playoff ceiling isn't that high just because they lack that true number one guy, at least at this point in time. Maybe Jalen Green changes all of our minds in the playoffs when they begin. He has, again, been playing very well. But last night highlighted some dumb things that unfortunately have not quite been cleaned out of a rather messy college-aged Houston Rockets dorm. You know?
Yeah.
It's strewn all over the place, Sean. It's just a little sloppy, and you want them to be a little more like a man.
Yeah, there's definitely some fat that can be trimmed off of their game, and just like some shots that you're just like, you know what? Didn't need to take that one.
Nope.
You could have worked harder for a better one.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't know. It's another situation of where you can't really get all these guys playing either A games or B games, or even like one of them playing a C game, but the rest of them playing pretty well. It's like you still will just get the absolute like basement level Fred VanVleet or Jalen Green game, where it's just like, oh my God, like you don't even have a chance. And the Rockets only played 8 guys in this game. They played 3 guys off the bench. And it was Tari Eason, it was Steven Adams, and it was Jabari Smith. So they didn't play another guard off the bench in a game where their guards were awful. Their starting backcourt was terrible, and they didn't play another one the entire game. I guess if you want to say that Amen Thompson kind of shifted from being a forward with the starters to a guard on the bench, sure. Point still stands that they ran this like they were taking this game seriously. They only played 8 guys. And I thought that their defensive plan was at least pretty good. You could say that it's just, you know, Luka and LeBron being like, eh, not tonight. We're not really feeling it tonight.
It didn't feel like 100% from those two.
But there still is the, like, okay, they're just funneling the shots to Gabe Vincent and to Dorian Finney-Smith.
Who was on crack last
Yes,
night.
Those guys took 24 threes. They were probably 12 for 25?
12 for 24, yep.
Yeah, 12 for 24 combined. And it's just like, hey, we're going to live with Vincent sending us home tonight. Like, that's just what we're going to have to live with. And it happened. So, like, the defense, I don't really have a problem with the Rockets. It's the offense where it's just like, what are we doing, guys? And if that's, like, maybe they need to play more through Şengün in that kind of matchup as opposed to letting Fred VanVleet take 14 shots and Dylan Brooks take 16. I don't know.
I'm with you there. You know what? Angry Turkish Rockets fans last night, you got a case. You got a case.
Yes. I mean, in this show, we're standing
United. We stand with Turkey, who's cracking down on all the protests.
On this.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks is 5 of 14. Fred VanVleet's 2 of 14. You know, 7 of 28. Come on.
Yeah, no.
Let's. It's not your night.
I had the 2 guys that played the most minutes, I think.
Yep, they were. VanVleet played 40 and Dylan Brooks played 36. You're right on that front. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text. And you want to weigh in on last night's Rockets loss to the Lakers or the lack of offense by the Houston Astros to open up this season. Up next, everything you might have missed in the weekend of sports, including a fabulous technical foul for Dylan Brooks and a great fight in the NBA. Stay put.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not. And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Everything you might have missed over the weekend in the world of sports. The Rockets smoked the Phoenix Suns on Sunday in a game where Dylan Brooks got ejected. He got double teed up. Here is NBA referee Bill Kennedy fabulously ejecting Brooks from the game.
After reviewing the play, there are a number of technical fouls have been issued. Technical foul on Durant. Technical foul on Richards. And two technical fouls on Brooks, and he has been ejected.
I mean, it's kind of funny the way he did it until you realize that he does it to your team. I would have been pissed had I seen that live mid-broadcast. I did not see it until after the fact.
Yeah,
the way he did that was very much ref show. I mean, first off, announcing the two Suns players as getting the technical fouls first.
Yeah.
The pause. Then announcing a Rockets player got two technicals. Forgetting that he's Dylan Brooks.
Dramatic foul.
For dramatic effect. Checking the roster to see who he was ejecting.
That was number nine. Who was number nine?
The guy who constantly gets technical fouls.
The guy who he's third in the league.
I there's a part of me that appreciates the art with which a referee, Bill Kennedy. Yeah,
Bill Kennedy is the best at that. Or he does this the most.
He
puts on a show with it.
It was performative. It was a performative ejection. But at the same time, F you, dude.
Yeah, I think it's fine because it's a 30-point game in the regular season. If he tries this in a playoff season,
oh, we riot. We are storming the court.
I mean, Scott Foster just passes the baton to Bill Kennedy as far as persona non grata in the city of Houston.
So this gives Dylan Brooks 16 technical fouls for the season, which means he will be suspended, but the NBA Players Association is appealing it, and theoretically, this could be reduced to a single technical foul, right? So,
yes.
There's an argument.
If it gets to 16, he will be suspended for a game, just by accumulation of technicals over the season. Once you hit 16, you're suspended for a game.
And then
I think every one or two after that, you get suspended again, but it slate clean before the playoffs.
Some people would like Dylan Brooks to just get it out of the way so that for some of these games down the stretch, he's not going to be suspended.
I was thinking he should get a tech because they play the Jazz next. And it's just like, get it over with.
Just get it. Just do it right after the tip-off.
Yeah, but
just shove somebody onto the ground.
Yeah, but yeah.
Whenever, sack him in the nuts.
Whenever he does, we know, he's not going to go seven games without getting a tech.
Zero chance.
Just whatever 16 divided by 70 is. He's already above that pace.
He's won every 4 to 5.
Exactly. So I think just get out of the way. Just, knock it out. And we can ride for the rest of the season, which will be important.
Yes.
I mean, really, the two least important games are the two next ones against the worst team in the West, the Jazz, and the best team in the West, the OKC Thunder, who are so much the best team in the West that does not matter.
Continuing across the NBA, there is a huge fight over the weekend between the Detroit Pistons and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And if you watch the actual fight take place, Timberwolves went up for a layup, and a Timberwolves player and a Pistons player got face to face. I really do not know what it was all about, but they get in each other's grill.
I think it was a buildup from like a couple possessions before with DiVincenzo and Holland.
DiVincenzo gets in second because he shoves Holland. So basically what happens, you have a Timberwolves player and a Pistons player, Holland, facing off. Dom DiVincenzo comes in and shoves Holland. And the next thing you know, the camera could not even keep tabs on what was going on.
Fracas that falls into the first row behind the baseline.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely fell on some rich people here. And something has gone viral because a lot of people said, hey, look, Isaiah Stewart, the guy who once tried to fight LeBron James and was running through every single hold me back guy to try and get LeBron James in the midst of the game. Respect, I like Isaiah Stewart. Wish that Syracuse had actually recruited him. Famously, he didn't go to Syracuse because Jim Boeheim dissed him once.
Ouch.
I know, sucks.
Wrong guy to diss, too.
Yep, for sure. At least he didn't try to beat up Boeheim. But anyway, there is a picture that has gone viral where it looks like Isaiah Stewart may have been grabbing Dante DiVincenzo's junk on the bench.
Yeah, you know, it's there's a lot of bodies involved.
Yeah, I think he was going for a punch and he missed it. And yeah, does his hand is placed right.
He's just trying to reach over and grab him. And yeah, he's probably getting hit as he's doing the reach.
Yep. So
I will say
a little bit.
But being Isaiah Stewart, you do stick out in a situation like this just because we know. It's same thing with Dylan Brooks. Like, he carries a history with him when it comes to getting technical fouls.
Yeah.
You also carry it. Because he is getting suspended for this, like, the actual incident, and also because he got two technical fouls. And so he's getting over. So he gets two game suspension.
Damn.
I think everyone else got one.
Shout out to the Pistons. The Pistons are back.
They're good.
Malice in the Palace stuff, and they are the first team in NBA history to triple their win total from the previous season. Sort of goes to show you how bad they were last year.
That's the hard part, is to be so bad. But yeah, congrats.
Kevin Willard left Maryland for Villanova. That one overlooked in an NCAA tournament weekend that saw four 1-seeds all advance to the Final Four. Of course, our beloved Cougs, Duke, Florida, Auburn. So Willard leaves for Villanova, and people at Maryland are pissed because he told players via Zoom. I can understand you look at this and this is the wrong way to do it, but I also think that for Kevin Willard, who has been on record vocally talking about a lack of give a crap by Maryland when it comes to their basketball program, I actually get why Willard might have done it this way. I do think you owe it to your players to be a little bit better, but it wasn't exactly like Maryland had a great year. You know, think about it. Maryland barely beat Colorado State in the second round. They might have won on a travel. They did advance to the Sweet 16, but do you think going forward that Maryland as a basketball program in the Big Ten is going to be a national title contender anytime soon? No, Villanova is clearly the better job, always has been the better job when it comes to basketball. Maryland's had some good years from time to time, but Maryland is more focused on football.
Yeah,
Willard's point, I get why you'd be pissed if all the NIL money's not going to your basketball program, which is really the only program that has a chance of ever being nationally relevant, weirdly, because it's just really hard in college football to go from the tier that Maryland is at, which is probably like two below, like almost contenders.
Yeah, they're like below average Big Ten team.
They're a 6-win season every three years.
And if you're Kevin Willard, you're like, well, at Villanova, I don't have to split it. I don't have to.
Right.
I don't have. There
All
is no.
Or
there is a football team,
but no one cares about.
Yeah.
It.
For Willard, it makes sense. For Maryland, I would say it doesn't really make sense. I agree with you that I think they should lean more basketball.
Yeah.
A just like you mentioned the. You'll never really climb up that hill, or it's so hard to actually climb up that hill to become Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. Like, that's who you're competing with. Where in basketball, like, you saw it this year with the Maryland Terrapins. They had five good players.
Yeah.
And they,
it's a good area for basketball,
they
too.
They made the Sweet 16.
I mean,
Dare Queen's from Maryland or from Baltimore.
Between Baltimore and DC, I mean Maryland.
You'll figure it out.
Maryland has a lot going for them from a basketball perspective.
You need five guys that are good, yeah, as opposed to football where you need 35.
Exactly, and you're competing with, first off, the Big Ten conference that you're in, but also just about every single SEC school that like is
too close
encroaching
to the SEC. Yeah,
yeah, on that territory.
Yeah, exactly.
Did anyone see this in college baseball? Kentucky, go F yourselves. I'm standing up for the Aggies here. This is some of the most soft.
This is very Bush League.
Soft Bush League crap I've ever seen. So Kentucky was beating Texas A&M 10-5. Apparently there is a rule in college baseball where on Sundays there's something called a travel curfew. So no new inning can be started after 5:30 Central Time. So Kentucky, who was up 10-5 in the eighth, basically just stalled and stalled and stalled some more to make sure that they did not end the eighth inning so that there would be a ninth inning before 4:30. That is a load of crap. And look, I get that the travel curfew is in effect, but okay, maybe college baseball needs a pitch clock if there's some rule like this in place. Yeah. I mean, if the sport can take too long and you can just sit up there and delay and delay and delay, and watching the replay of this, I did not see a pitch clock behind the backstop or anything like that. This is some crap. So the Aggies got hosed, and obviously, who knows if the Aggies are going to score with four outs left, five runs to tie things up.
But it's lame. More, yeah, it's dishonorable. And, yeah, I don't really understand why they need this. I mean, oh, they're students. They got to get to class on Monday.
Yeah.
But come on, guys. I think this is terrible look for Kentucky baseball.
For
a team that I've never once thought of in my entire life.
Same.
I've never thought about. They're wearing black jerseys in this. They look like the Mets alternates. Like, it's so weird.
Kentucky baseball finally relevant for pulling some Bush League bleep against an actual baseball school. So there you go. That's in case you missed it. Everything you might have missed over the weekend in the world of sports. Also, Stanford had fired their coach for bullying. Andrew Luck is running the show at Stanford. He's basically their GM. They hired Frank Reich, but they hired him for 1 year, which is very funny.
Literally substitute teacher.
He's their substitute teacher for a year. Honestly, it might work out with Frank Reich. I feel like that's pretty good hire for Stanford.
Yeah, he's solid.
That's like, definitely better than most places would be able to get as far. I mean, he's a former NFL head coach.
Better than Stanford will be able to hire for their full-time
team. Yeah, I think so. Honestly, I think Andrew Luck.
I think it's because it's one, like, it's, hey, 1 year, no strings attached. This is here for a good time, not a long time. That's why Frank Reich is like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. But if they slid him a 3-year contract, no, I'm going to be an offensive coordinator.
I don't know. I think Stanford is pretty cushy. David Shaw was there forever. But David Shaw got bored.
I was going to say, but it's tough because you can't really transfer guys in. You can't really, paying guys is tough.
Just fib. Just lie. Stanford's been good before. Like, it's not impossible to be good at Stanford.
But it was before the transfer portal
stuff. True.
And it was good with Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, they got money, though.
Yeah, they want to spend it on school, not sports.
Yeah, fair. Sean Mace behind the glass and Paul Gallant. In case you missed it, everything you might have missed over the weekend in sports. Two questions for you on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One, at what point is it acceptable to panic about the Astros' slow start on offense? And two, does last night's Rockets loss have you feeling any differently about their chances come playoff time? Stick around on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Rough loss for the Astros last night. The offense continues to struggle. 7-2, they lose to the Giants. We'll see Hayden Wesneski on the hill for the Astros tonight at Daikin Park. At what point can you panic about the Astros offense? One texter says, well, let's wait until even the torpedo bats aren't helping. That's fair I'd like a shipment of torpedo bats to Daikin Park ASAP. Another text. Imagine if it was the Astros who started out the year using that bat with all these home runs. I guarantee you they would say we're cheating again. I wouldn't care. I would not care at all. I really wouldn't. In fact, I kind of like the Astros once again getting everyone all pissed off, because that would mean that they're relevant.
Yeah, it'd make me feel alive again.
Yeah.
Make me feel good.
I want to feel something, and right now all I'm feeling about the offense is a little bit of panic. Just a little bit. Not a lot. A little bit, though, you know?
Yeah. Also,
I'm doing a double take looking at the panic button.
Also, the Yankees have scored 36 runs in three games. I would like that.
I would like also Kyle Tucker, three home runs in four games. Yes. Actually, I guess it's a little more than four games because they played those games in Japan.
Yeah, they've played.
Tucker's a little bit more into the swing of the regular season. That's why this is happening.
Played twice as many games, yeah.
Yeah. More texts. At what point is it acceptable to panic about the Astros offense? I am trusting the process. This team is going to take more pitches. They're going to force longer at-bats for opposing pitching. But it felt like they forgot to do that against Jordan Hicks last night. More texts. Some people are blaming Joe Espada on YouTube. BVB09. Joe Espada says, BVB09 will have a nice speech ready by the time we're 2-12. Well, he's going to have to write it out because I don't think his spot is great off script. A little Kamala Harris-esque on that front. What? I mean, she's not great at improvising. And I think Joe Espada's speeches have been rather lacking, at least the ones that we have caught on camera. I think that the Astros social media folks need to perhaps do a little editing, get microphones, add some sort of dramatic music in the background to give it a little more ambience. You know, we need some sort of aura because it's definitely not coming from Espada. So you got to add like Hans Zimmer behind him the next time you post a Joe Espada speech. I don't think they'll be 2-12 though. They just need to start being a little bit better at the plate to this point. Another text. Joe Espada isn't a ballsy enough manager. And Dana Brown shouldn't even be employed. Well, I got no issue with Dana Brown outside of the things he says, because as someone who has described himself as a straight shooter, I do think that he often optimistically shoots, which isn't ideal, especially when you don't like being gaslit or told about the back of baseball cards. Joe Espada isn't a ballsy enough manager. What is Joe Espada supposed to do about the bats, though, to this point? It's funny that we always go to blaming the manager. Would things be better with Dusty Baker right now? I don't know. Really, I have no idea, but I do find it amusing that we constantly go to blaming the manager or the general manager for a team that can't get hits. Hell, it would make more sense to blame the owner, Jim Crane, than it does to blame Espada for this slow start or Dana Brown for this slow start. Some more texts. These have to do with the Houston Rockets. A texter asks, where is Rudy T when you need him? Well, Rudy T for the Astros, maybe for those texters who were complaining about Espada and Dana Brown. Another comment. In the final 2 minutes of the Rockets game, I didn't understand keeping Jalen Green on the bench. I don't care about his percentage at that point. Give me him over Dylan Brooks every day. Yeah, especially if Dylan Brooks is going Kobe and shooting fadeaway jumpers from the elbow. I'm with you on that one. I do think that it must have been predetermined. And I don't know if after the game, because this was not televised, I don't know if after the game Ime Udoka said why Green was not in the game at that moment in time. But yeah, I definitely would have preferred to have the Rockets best offensive player, the Western Conference player of the month or week. I forget which one it was, Sean. Was it month or week?
It was week.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because if it was of the month, I think we would all be very excited about Jalen Green right now. Ron says it's way too early to panic on Twitch about the Astros and their offense. I do think it's early, but the numbers are alarming. And in case you didn't hear them a little bit earlier, when Panic Man came in, 18 hits in four games, 8 runs in four games, 3 for 23 with runners in scoring position, 25 men left on base, just 3 extra base hits in four games, 26th in on-base percentage, tied for 27th in steals with 0, 28th in batting average, 28th in runs, 29th in OPS, 30th in slugging, 30th in home runs with just 1, and it barely was a home run. They're 2-2, and at least they're getting a lot of walks. They got 16 walks in 4 games. Most of the teams who have more walks than them have played more games. So at the very least, the process of being patient at the plate is seeing some results, but last night it seems like they forgot him against Jordan Hicks, who did have a great night on the mound. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. The Astros, they let us down last night. The Rockets, they let us down last night. But guess what? Sometimes the night is darkest just before the dawn. Actually, I think always the night is darkest just before the dawn. That's how the sun rotating the earth works, or the earth rotating the sun works. Whatever. I'm not an astrologist. But just when the Astros and Rockets couldn't disappoint you more, the Houston Texans, they're going to have you giddy in the next segment. What am I talking about? You got to stick around to find out. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.